Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. How deeply grateful I am that you have chosen to be with me on this 24th day of November 2019. We're going to have a very interesting subject today. Well, it is for me at least. Why you can't get it. And I get these questions from people after listening to Aspire or reading a commentary or something, and maybe watching one of the TV programs on the website, and it seems foreign to them. We'll talk about that in just a moment. I want to remind you that this radio program that you're listening to is here only due to the graces and the kindness, the generosity of my sponsors. They make this possible by giving their quarterly and monthly donations, whatever they have signed up for. It's a very, very kind thing they do. And we are in the midst of really the latter part getting there of our drive, our year-end drive to keep Aspire on the air and sustain the work that I do at hospice and all of the BATMO projects that will be looming in next year. So we need your help, your support. Without it, we just can't continue. And that's just the blunt end of it, the trauma of bluntness. I hope you'll become a sponsor. If Aspire has helped you, which I'm sure it has because you're listening, I hope you will become a sponsor. For your sponsorship, you get many, many gifts. You get access to my podcast, video cast, commentaries that I do twice a month. They are extensive and they're for a more serious student, I will admit, but they are very important. You get the message of the month each and every month. It's on a different subject, something I'm working on with my students. It's wonderful. And you get 122 TV discourses from all of the series that I've done on TV, and they're there for you. You can download them, do whatever you like with them. They're there as a gift to serve you, to make help you with your life and humankind in general. So all of that do you get by becoming a sponsor. And our mystery donor, he has been very, very generous this year. He is going to match your donations, whether you become a sponsor or you make a donation just to keep us alive, year-end donation. He will match it. So that's really a lovely thing that he does, and I am profoundly and deeply grateful. So there you are. Become a sponsor. Go to the website, if you will, at aspire.org, A-S-P-I-R-E.org, O-R-G. If you go there, you will see on the splash page, year-end donation. There's a wonderful little story there. I think you'll find it very relative probably to your own life, the easy way. And I hope you'll help us. We really need it. I can't get it. I hear this all the time now. You know, when I was younger, people would be afraid to admit that they couldn't get it. You know, that they really didn't understand. We live in these pedestrian mentalities, these conventional minds where we go from A to B to C and then back to A to B to C. We live in a little tight circle, and we don't really understand the nature of our life or anything outside of that box of DNA and genetics and survival. So it kind of makes it hard when we have a problem that's outside that circle, outside that those perimeters, and we just can't find an answer to something that may be plaguing us. Of course, everything is answered by money these days. So, you know, if you have enough money, you don't have as many problems, people think. But that's not true, really. But here we go. These questions arrived at my mailbox here at aspire.org the last 3 weeks. So these are fresh off the vine. And one of them is from Happy, who was on the previous program. Okay, let's get into it. The first one comes from Andrew in Los Angeles. He says, "You ask a lot of us in your teachings. Do you think your relative to society, current society? Andrew. I don't know, Andrew. I don't relate to society. I'm not much interested in it, which probably is the reason why I seem confusing to people. I don't know how old you are. I don't know, you know, what your generational thing is and where you are in that. I don't know if you're a millennial, a Gen X. I don't know. So I can't really answer your question with any authority or any direct experience, but I can tell you this, and I can tell you this after almost 50 years of teaching. The practice, the work, is never relative to anyone in society. It wasn't in the days of the Buddha or Lao Tzu when he was teaching, or even Jesus. He was an outsider. Jesus was definitely an outsider. He lived outside the perimeters of society and all of that. So, I mean, that's just a given. You have to understand inside your inner being that I'm not here to appeal to your logic and reasoning. I'm not here to say to you, this is what you should be thinking, this is how you should be believing. I don't tell you how to feel, and I don't tell you what to feel. I tell you that the emotionality that you might be engaging in, gratifying yourself in, is hurting you. I will say that. And if you understand that, if you can accept that and have tolerance for that, then you might be able to hear a few of the words I'm teaching you. These are ancient teachings. These are not teachings that are new. I am not teaching you anything, in my opinion, that's revolutionary to society. It might be against society, but it isn't anything new that Buddha has taught or anything new that Jesus taught. It's all in the same kind of bucket. So if you understand the nature of my teachings, you'll see they're not mine. They are just the teachings of the way and how to get there. So this isn't a personal thing with me. You must understand. And I know that I sound like the man from Mars. I do understand that. I totally get that. But what can I do? This is the way it is. The teachings are not for everyone who hear them. People get insulted. People get annoyed. People get confused easily because they think in repetitive ways over and over and over again. Same old stuff. Thinking from A to B to C and back to A to B to C. Ignoring the whole idea that there's other characters in the alphabet. There are other things that you could focus on, but people don't want to do that. They like the familiar, and they live in the familiar. So in living in that way, in acting in that way, in doing whatever you do, you never get to really look at the meaning of your life. You're used to confronting, you know, society. You're used to confronting people. You're used to confronting other people's thoughts and then trying to analyze them and see if it's relative to yourself. That's what I get from your question. And in doing so, you would miss the whole message of what I'm trying to offer to you here. The whole thing would be going down the tube. Doesn't work like that. None of this works like that. If you really want to know the depth and the clarity of it all, and I don't know if you are, Andrew, but you would have to be a meditator, someone who has practiced some meditation every day and listens to the way, the truth, and the light from within your own heart, your authentic heart, not your human heart. And that's where it gets tricky. You say, you, that I, ask a lot of us, meaning you guys, in my teachings. Really? Really? Well, maybe it appears that way to you. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you how it works. And if that's too much for you, then obviously you're not meditating. Obviously, you're not much interested in transcendence. You don't see the bigger picture here. You're content with living in society. I would not be content with adopting the credos of society. I just couldn't do that. I am not lost and afraid in the whole idea of letting go of society. It's not mine. It's a cesspool of infidelity, stupidity, and hate. I don't understand why you would even want to be in that kind of genre. I just don't even get it. But maybe you find comfort there. I don't know. But I do know that your question reveals a great deal about your intent in this life and in this world. And I guess I'm saying to you, if you're going to live by society, you're going to die by society. And chances are you're already dead because you're asking me a question that says, well, if you're not in society and thinking the way the society thinks, the culture thinks, then you're in the wrong stadium here. You're not even in the ballpark. I have left the ballpark. I have left the stadium. I have left long ago. And now I am teaching those of you who have eyes to see and ears to hear that which your mind cannot accept and cannot ponder, cannot think. I am teaching you how to not think and have direct experience, which is far more important than thinking. Anyway, there you are, Andrew. Oy vey, Tijuana Mexicana. I'm so sorry that this doesn't work for you. But whatever. Thank you for listening. And you are among many, many people, believe it or not, who think the same way you do about the work, not only that I offer, but the work that the Buddha, Jesus, Lhasa offered. The big three, as I call them. Please, Andrew, forgive me. Namaste. A lot of people hear this, put their own spin on it, their own interpretation, their own mental acuity to it, and then the next thing you know, it turns out totally different. It has no relevance to anything I was really saying or teaching, but they don't mind, throwing that out there, but that's it. All right, back to Happy, who had a question in the last program. She asks, what is the meaning of your work as you see it, Happy? The meaning of my work. I share, Happy. I you have to find the meaning in my work. I don't try to show you the meaning. I used to do that when I was younger. I would stand there in front of congregations and people and try to show them the relevancy of what I was saying that was in accord with their spirituality, the depth of their the trouble is they didn't have any spirituality and they didn't want any. They could have cared less. They just wanted to know, is there a way to get what I want faster, quicker, and easier? And can I avoid suffering? And can I maybe even avoid death for a while and get healed? That's as far as it went. It didn't go into transformation, personal transformation, or transcendence at all. That wasn't even the thought. It was to sit in that lazy boy and be comfortable and have the things I want and not have the things I don't want, and happy am I, I'm rich, I'm happy. And that's the way they wanted to think. So I kind of took myself out. I became not relative to their desires. And no teacher should be relative to the desires of his students because they only want what garnishes their ego and gratifies them. People live off the blunt trauma of ego, and they live in it for so long that they think in terms of that being the core of living. Just think of how much of your life happy has been missed because you allowed the ego to interpret the meaning of yourself upon the face of your own life. You've allowed your thoughts, your emotions to define you, to tell you what was important, what was good, what wasn't good, over and over and over again, living in this mediocrity. And without question, happy, think about it. You didn't question it once. Now you're starting to listen to me a little bit as you email me on the side, and it's confusing to you. You're looking for a philosophy. I am not teaching any philosophy here. I am not teaching you how to be a rich, successful, healthy, happy person. I am not teaching that. Therefore, my relevancy in most people's lives is nil. Well, what purpose does Greg Penn serve? None. Not to that. The purpose I serve is to your transcendence, is to your soul, is to the authentic heart. It is to love itself, real love. That's what I'm trying to get you to maybe consider. Just consider. But most people are intolerant happy. They're so intolerant, they don't care about anything other than what butters their bread, and that's about it. Because they've been dummied down by watching TV and movies and thinking in terms of black and white and all of that other stuff, political, social, religious, all sorts of things that they get involved in that they don't really comprehend. All they want is to be able to do what they want when they want to do it. That is the sum, the substance, and the totality of everything they do. It doesn't go any deeper. It doesn't go any further. And, you know, the interesting part of it all, to me, happy, is that people won't even question it. They don't question, well, wait a minute, how am I living here? Is this all there is? They want to be occupied. People are looking to be occupied. Occupied in their living for the rest of their life. Something that keeps them from realizing how they are living from within themselves. They don't want to see it. They don't want to deal with it. They don't want to do any of it. They just want to do what they want to do. So happy. What is the meaning of my work? Maybe to turn your attentions away from the pedestrian mentality. To turn your attentions away from what you believe you want, what you think you want, how you want it, what you want, what you believe is relevant to your life by getting what you want. I'm turning your attentions. I'm saying, I'm tapping you on the shoulder gently, and I'm saying, there is another way over here. But to do that, you're going to have to give up emotionality. You're going to have to give up your genetics and the urges of your genetics through impulse. You're going to have to give up thinking the way you think in a philosophy that brings in the totality of right and wrong, good and bad, dualistic thinking. You're going to have to give up all of that. You're going to have to practice, and it is a practice over and over and over again. You and I didn't get the way we are in our humanness just overnight. It was a constant practice to get, as I'm going to keep it in my genre, as stupid as I have been in my life. You got to really practice it over and over and over again. And then when you realize you don't need to do that, that you could have had a V8 anytime you wanted, you have to backtrack a little bit and not go to that impulse, not go to that anger, not go to that assumption, not go to that fear, not go to that hatred. The big one is assumption, and it's where you and I assume that we are right. And when right is more important than authentic righteousness, that of love, then we're cooked. The goose is cooked. You're cooked. Most people are dead happy. They've been dead for many, many years, most of their life. They have allowed their ego and other people to bully them into thinking right and wrong, good and bad, into thinking about a philosophy. We're superstitious people. We don't get any of it. We just don't get it. And because of that, we lost our life years ago. Most people will tell me they don't want to die when I'm at hospice, and I understand. But they've already been dead. This is just the body following through. It had nothing to do with the life that lives within. There is this beautiful life that lives within us all. But here we are, living in death, thinking we're alive. Not a very good place to be. I hope that helps you, Happy. And thank you for your emails and your kindness. I deeply appreciate your attention. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question is from Andrew. He does not tell me where he lives. I have two Andrews here today. Why don't I like what you teach, even though I know it's true and I love it? Andrew. Andrew, we're all split, every one of us. We're split in to a degree of, I'm going to just say, in half. Part of us wants to keep the old ways and keep the old way of thinking. We just, you know, I'm a part of this family. I'm a part of this generation. They love thinking like that. And then there's another part that is beyond their pedestrian mentality. It's the part that is very still, quiet voice. And it's that still, small voice that keeps, what do I want to say? It's yearnings. It teaches me. It offers to me alternatives. I'm just going to use a very, you know, clumsy word here. Divine yearning for that which is very, very important. That which is essential to the meaning of life itself. Now, a lot of people ignore that. They think, oh, what is that silly stuff? And then they go back to their philosophy, assumptions, judgments, rights, wrongs, good, bad, and they have a dualistic mind. And what you're talking about here is about a dualistic mind. You ask me, why don't I like what you teach? Because it requires discipline. Because it requires you to take time away from the Andrew part of you, and into another dimension of your being. And even though you hate what it is I'm saying, because the ego of Andrew is so very strong and prominent, the other part of you, that sweeter part, that more gentle part, that more awakened part, is saying, listen, listen, listen. But you're not going to do that, chances are, because it would take a huge amount of humility and discipline to go within yourself and say, if I do what Greg is telling me to do in the meditations and the teachings, if I really immerse myself in this, this is going to change my life. I had a guy that came to one of my retreats, and this guy was a mess. I mean, I don't even know how the hell he stumbled into my domain. So, you know, he is one of those guys that goes around to every teacher, you know, and he tries to pick up a little here, a little there, and see if he's right, and yada da yada da. And he said, you know, I loved what you did. I loved what you taught. I had a really good time, but I could never discipline myself enough to do what you're asking us to do. And isn't that sad? Because he was so close to whatever it was that was maybe pushing him to meditate, but he just couldn't do it because his ego, his vanity, his pride, and his wife wouldn't like it. One day we got to do a program on being married and trying to sustain a spiritual practice. That's a dilly whopper if it isn't. Anyway, I have great experience there. So there you are. I'm out of here. Thank you, Andrew. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Well, there you are. Weekend's done. I hope you have a beautiful one. Thank you for listening. make a donation. Help us keep Aspire on the air, won't you? And please forgive me. Namaste.